Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, if you got a Bible with you, got an iPhone with you, got an iPad with you, got an Android with you, I forgive you for that. Go to a Bible, grab a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, quickly get on there, download YouVersion or a Bible app. There's a ton of them on there, great options for you. I want you to grab a Bible because I want you to see some things with me as we go on a journey in some scriptures tonight to see, I believe, what God has put on my heart over the past year and a half. I've been walking through this message. And truth be told, for probably about the last 4 or 5 months, every time I've been asked to come and speak. This is something in me that I've wanted to speak about and wanted to talk about, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't get it out. Have you ever had something that you just wanted to say, but you couldn't articulate the words? So I kind of did something. I kind of put a limitation on myself, and I put some requirements there on God, and I said, God, I'm speaking this message on September 26th. It's going to happen. I'm going to say this message, and so here we are today, and I'm speaking the word. Praise God. You're clapping. You don't even know what I'm talking about yet. So if you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Luke? The book of Luke, the New Testament, it's the third book in the Bible, or third book in the New Testament. The book of Luke is a story that Luke was an educated man who gathered eyewitness accounts, and he heard from the people that were actually at these events, and he chronographed them together and created this account of Jesus called the Gospel of Luke. We're reading in the story of Luke, and this is one of the first encounters that Jesus has with the men who will be his disciples. And I want to read to you an interesting story, but before we go there, I want you to turn to Luke in the 5th chapter. And as you're turning there, I'm going to give you the title of the talk tonight, and that's called Fact Check. Fact Check. Have you ever been fact checked? Anybody ever been fact checked? How about this? Have you ever fact checked someone? See, we live in a beautiful time. We live in a time where we have information available to us at all times in the day. Have you ever been to that place where somebody said something, somebody did something, or maybe it was somebody made a reference to, and you kind of knew, there's just something like deep down in your soul, you kind of thought like, I'm not sure that's exactly right, right? You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? And maybe it's me. When I'm preaching, I had breakfast with somebody that was a great person in the church, and we had breakfast with him last week, and he was talking about, well, you said Frank Sinatra wrote this song. Well, he didn't write the song, he sang the song. And I'm like, thank you for fact-checking me, you're awesome. So maybe it's me that you're fact-checking. But maybe you've heard something, you know, especially in today's day and age with politics and all these things, we like to fact-check things. And so what do? We hear something, and we pull out our phone, or we pull out a device, or what do? We Google it. Did some so-and-so really say that? Did this really happen? Did Neil Armstrong really land on the moon? They're going to fact-check him in a year or so when they go to the moon and find out if the Apollo spacecraft are actually there or not. We're going to fact-check it. See, we live in a world of information. We live in a world where fact is important. In fact, and factual evidence is the world in which we live in. It's a world of a byproduct of the modern era. The modern era of science and philosophy, the modern era of invention, industrialization of our societies. We live in a world where now we know the things that we know. I was just talking with somebody a couple of weeks ago, or actually about last week. We were talking about just how fast things have happened in the last 100 years. We were talking about plumbing. I was talking with Pastor Dan about plumbing. Think about this. 100 years ago, most people went outside to go to the bathroom. Fact check it. But now it's common for everybody. And we live in this world where information is available at our fingertips, and where facts, what facts are statements of actuality or reality. We live in a world of fact, of actuality and reality. And so as we look at the subject, I want to talk to you tonight about fact check. I want to broach the subject of something that God has been walking me through in this season. And I believe that every one of us in this journey of faith that we go through are going to walk through ourselves on several occasions, in several different ways, and in several different seasons of life. We're all going to walk through a time and a place where your faith will eventually challenge your fact. Let me say it again. We're going to walk through a time in our lives on several different occasions when your faith will challenge your fact. You see, a fact, like I said, is a statement of reality and actuality. It's a fact that I am 6'3". Not 1 inch, 6'1". See, but what I say is I'm 6'1", right? Fact check it. We live in a world of actualities and realities. And there will be a day in which faith will come. The system in which we believe, the system in which we hold to, the things in which we believe are to be true or to be worth living our lives in will challenge the actualities and the realities of our own lives. And the question I was thinking about as I was thinking about this challenge, as I was reading the scripture that we're about to read together, is what do we do? And how do we respond in life when, not if, when our faith, our belief challenges our fact? Because the reality of today, this is fact, is that people are walking away from their faith because they can no longer reconcile their faith and their facts in life together. People are walking away from their systems of beliefs because of the facts in which we hold to be true. We cannot reconcile them with the beliefs in which we believe. And so we find this system of doubt and of conflict on the inside of us. And what do we do when we face the doubt? What do we do when we face the conflict? What do we do when we have facts that are screaming at us louder than our faith? When reality is louder than our belief, how do we respond? Because the truth is that many of you and many of us in this place tonight are walking in a life of fact. The fact is that your marriage may not make it. The fact is that money is running out. The fact is, as a statement of reality, is that you are not educated enough to succeed and to progress to the place that you want to get to. The fact is, you may not have enough ability or talent or skill to get you to the place in which you want to be in life. The fact is, your children might be going in a direction that you don't want them to go. And that is fact. And there will be a time in these seasons of life when these facts will scream at us louder than the faith in which we hold. And we each are faced with a decision, faced with a choice, faced in that moment on how do we respond when our faith challenges our fact. How do we respond when our questions outnumber our answers? And we stand at the bottom of our rope saying, I'm not sure how much longer I can hold on without knowing any more than I know today. What do we do? And I think what's so neat is, I want to take you to a story that I had an experience. I was in Israel, and I've been to Israel 3 different times in 2 years. And I was in Israel, and I was on the Sea of Galilee, and there was this really awesome young lady that was kind of like a caretaker of a church that was on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And she was telling a story, and as she was telling the story, it was this story. And the story just came alive because in that moment, I began to realize that this is something that I'm living. But not just me, this is something that you're living. This is something that every one of us in life are living, that we are faced with beliefs and we are faced with facts. We have a choice to make on how we respond and what we do with our facts and our beliefs. And so in Luke, the 5th chapter, I want to take you there with the idea that there will be a time in your life when your faith will challenge your fact. What do we do? In Luke, the 5th chapter, this is a really neat account. Actually, Luke expounds on some statements that Mark makes, and this is the first encounter that we see Jesus with Peter, James, and John, and they're the inner core of Jesus' followers called the disciples. And Mark simply says that Jesus is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee and they're washing their nets after a long night of fishing, and Jesus says to them, follow me. And they leave everything behind and they follow Jesus. Luke takes us into a little bit greater detail and depth of the story. And I believe that Luke sheds some great light and some insight into this. And so in Luke, the 5th chapter, I just want to kind of take you and read to you this story really quickly. And I'm going to read out of the Bible translation that I read out of. And if you've got a different Bible translation, it's okay. We all have Bibles together, and you can read out of the one that you want to, but I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. Jesus says this, Luke says this in Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, verse number 1. He says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on him, we're talking about the story of Jesus here, while the crowd was pressing on to Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee that they also call the Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats that were by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And so they had left the boats, and they were washing their nets. And so getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him, could you put out a little bit from land? And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now, in Eastern cultures, the rabbi or the leader, he didn't stand on a stage or on a pulpit like he would when a teacher was ready to speak. What he would do is he would take a position of authority and he would sit down. So you just imagine there's Jesus on the edge of a boat. He's maybe sitting right there on the bow, legs dangling off, maybe feet in the water. It's a hot summer day in Galilee, much like California, you know, 100 and something degrees. And so there's Jesus in the water and he's speaking. And as Jesus is speaking, people are pressing in, and there was so much pressure to get close to Jesus that he had to get away. He had to distance himself from the people and get into a boat. And there he gets into the boat, and they push just a little bit off the shore. When it was Simon, he says, would you put out a little bit? He sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he says to Simon, hey, would you put out into the deep of the water and let down your nets for a catch? Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night, and we've took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking from all the fish. So they signaled over to their partners in the other boat to come, and they came out into the water. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. That's how many fish were in these nets. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And all that he that were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had that day taken. And also were James, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. You see, what we see here in this story, it's a simple story. It's a subtle story. It's a cool story. I mean, it's neat. It's interesting. It's intriguing. Jesus was teaching people, and at the end of his sermon, he looks over to Peter, and he says, hey, go out into the deep of the water and catch some fish. Maybe he wanted everybody to eat lunch. Maybe it was just, you know, to prove a point. But I think what's so amazing here is that this is a moment that in Luke's gospel and his writing, he writes with such subtlety, but he writes with such accuracy. And we see that this is a moment in Peter's life, maybe his first encounter face-to-face with Jesus Christ. And he says to Jesus, he says, Master, Rabbi, man, that sermon you preached was on point. I'll never be the same again. It was awesome. So good. But you don't understand. I've been fishing all night. I'm done. I'm tired. Fishing season's over. We're bringing it in for the day. It's time to go take a nap and eat lunch and drink something nice and refreshing. We're finished. But you know what? Because your sermon was so good, because you're such a good preacher, I don't want to be the guy. This is my imagination, I think. I don't want to be the guy that says no to the guy who just preached really good. So I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And in this moment, we see, so subtle, so small, that Peter was faced with a challenge because his faith was challenging his fact. You see, what Jesus was doing was laying out a test in this moment. It was a test of trust. The faith versus fact challenge is a test of trust. In those seasons of your life in which your fact is shouting, coming at you so loud and so predominantly that your faith seems like it backs off and doesn't have anything to stand on. In that moment, it's really a test. And it's a test of trust. Because what Jesus was about to do was prove his trustworthiness. See, what I love about Luke's gospel is Luke, I think my parents named me after Luke. They were, you know, good, on fire, charismatic Jesus freaks in the 70s movement. And they named me, you know, you got to give everybody a biblical name. So they named me Luke after Dr. Luke, not after Skywalker Luke, but it's okay. You can still joke and tell me that you're my daddy. If I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I would be a millionaire. But what I love about my namesake's gospel is I think he's a lot like me. Well, maybe I should say I'm a lot like him because he came first. He's a thinker. He's a fact checker. See, Luke's gospel, he writes in the very beginning, I have written these things. I have studied these things. I have interviewed these people that you would know. To the man he was writing, O Theophilus, these are what really happened. So Luke concludes some facts. And I want to just show you that this faith versus fact challenge in Peter's moment, this moment in his story, was a test of his trust of who God is and what God has in store for him. Because Luke includes some subtleties that we skip over sometimes because it's so easy to read the story and look at that. So I want to bring you back really quickly to verse number one. Verse number one, Luke points out with such accuracy. He says that on one occasion, this is a very specific time, on one occasion, the crowd, people from all over the place, not just a few, not just two or three, not just his loyal 12, people from all over the place, the crowd was pressing in on him, look at this, to hear the word of God. Think about this for a moment. They weren't pressing in on him to hear a good teaching. They weren't pressing in on him to hear some wise sayings. They weren't pressing in on Jesus to see a miracle of healing. That wasn't what it was. You see, the crowd had realized something. They had trusted that the words of Jesus were actually the words of God. And that there was something about the words that were coming out of this Nazarene rabbi that was different from everybody else because he spoke like nobody spoke. He taught like nobody taught. He had authority like nobody had authority. And they began to realize that the words that this man was saying, they weren't just good sermons. They weren't just good thoughts. You see, the world likes to say, well, Jesus was a good guy. We'll give it to you. Jesus had some good things to say. We'll give it to you. You know, I love the whole thing about love your neighbor. Like if we could do that, that'd be awesome. The golden rule, treat others like you want to be treated. Jesus had some good things to be said. It was not about good things. They recognized that Jesus, when he spoke, he was speaking the word of God. And so as he speaks the word of God. And so now he looks at Peter. And he says to Peter, Peter, verse number 5, launch out into the deep. Cast your nets out for a catch. And now the test of trust comes because the crowd recognized that the words of Jesus were truth. Peter was faced with a test, the test of trust, the faith in the truth of what this man is saying or the faith in the fact of Peter's experience. Because think about it for a moment. This is what just opened my eyes. What Jesus was asking Peter to do was wrong on all places. See, in the Sea of Galilee, you didn't fish in the shallows in the day. Why? Because the sunlight shines. You didn't fish in the deep. You fished in the shallows at night. Peter was done. They were washing their nets. They were finished. So Jesus, in the middle of the day, in the daylight, in the morning or in the afternoon, Jesus says, Peter, go out into the place where the fish aren't. And go to the wrong place at the wrong time of day and cast out your nets. The wrong place, the wrong time, and the wrong method. The people that were fishing in the middle of the day, they would fish from the shore with smaller nets that were harder to see because of the sunlight. So Jesus was asking Peter, he was challenging Peter. You know the facts. You know that if you fish in the middle of the day in the deep water with a big net, you're not going to catch anything. That's why you don't fish. But Jesus was saying, fact might say, you won't catch anything now. But if my words are truth, if what I have to say is true and trustworthy, would you go to the place that's not right? Would you go in the time that doesn't feel the right time? And would you step out and do what feels so awkward and wrong to do? And in this moment, Jesus was testing Peter's trust. In our lives, when we look at the facts in which we face, the facts in which it may not be logical, it may seem like the wrong time, it may seem like the wrong place, it may seem like the wrong way, it may seem like it's not going to work out, it cannot work out, it is impossible. When Jesus says, would you launch out into the deep? Would you step out in faith? See, what he's doing is he's testing our trust. Because the reality is, you and I, we will never follow what we do not trust. And before Jesus ever called Peter to be his disciple, he asked Peter to trust him. Before he ever said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Before he ever said, follow me, and I will change your world. Follow me, and I will open your eyes. Follow me, and you will see things you have never seen before. Before he even introduced any of those concepts, Jesus simply said, will you trust me when fact is screaming louder than faith? So when we live in a life where it looks like things aren't working out, when it looks like fact, when statements of actuality and reality aren't working out, when the way that you feel is a fact and it screams louder than faith, the question is, will we respond with the test of trust for what God has for us? Because you will not follow what you will not trust. And how, church, how can we be followers of Jesus if we cannot trust the words of Jesus? You know, I love, one of my favorite conversations is to have people, my little brothers here, and we had conversations, and my cousins, we have conversations with people that I talk on the phone with. We love to have conversations about people who have questions. Questions about the Bible, questions about faith, about how do we get into this, or what about that, and how do you explain this? I love it. You see, because we live in a world of fact, and what we have a tendency to do is treat fact as truth. But just because it's a statement of actuality or reality doesn't mean it's truth. So when we treat fact as truth, here's how we live our lives. Well, I feel this way, so it must mean I am this way. My parents said that about me, so it must be the way I am. I tried, and I failed, so I must be no good. My first marriage ended in ruin, and my second one is on its way down. This just must be the way it goes. I grew up in the ghetto, so I might as well just stay in the ghetto. Because it's fact doesn't mean it's truth. Because if fact was truth, then the world was flat and the sun revolved around the world, and it takes 7 years to digest gum in your stomach, and George Washington had wooden teeth. Y'all are like, you lost me. These were all things that at one point in history were fact and truth. But we know the world is not flat. We know the sun does not revolve around the earth. We know that George Washington actually had teeth. And it does not take 7 years for gum to digest in your stomach. Somebody say praise God for that one. I just set some of y'all free right now. I just want you to know that. You know, you've been chewing on that gum and it lost its flavor. And you were like, see in 7 years. You know you've been there. But we live in a world that treats fact as truth. And when fact becomes truth, then the reality in which we live is the only reality in which we can stay. But Jesus, he challenged the status quo. And he challenged fact. So he says to Peter, wrong place, wrong time, wrong way, will you do it? Church, I wonder what God is asking you right now. Will you step out in faith when fact says it's not going to work? Will you step out in faith when fact says it's not the right time? It's not the right place. That's not the right way. You're not the right person. Will you step out in faith in the test of trust? Because Jesus Christ is behind you. I love one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. It's probably one of the more known in the Bible, Proverbs, the third chapter out of the Book of Wisdom. I'll just put it up on the screen for you. The wise book of Proverbs. It's a great book to read. 31 Proverbs, 31 chapters for 31 days. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says these words. It says, trust, it's a test of trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. See, the direction in which you lean will lead your life. Let me say it again. The faith versus fact challenge, the direction in which you lean will lead your life. They got that on the screen. Would you put that up there for me, guys? The direction in which you lean will lead your life. Let me ask you this question. In which way does a tree fall? If you ever seen The Lorax, you know the answer. The way it leans. You see, in order to gain forward momentum, you've got to lead and lean. The faster, I picked up running about 5 months ago. I never understood in my life why people like to run. And now I run 5 days a week, most of the time. Fact check. She's on front row looking at me right now. She's like, you didn't run 5 days this week. It's called a rest season, Sabbath. One thing I started to realize is the faster I want to run, the more I have to lean. Because you don't run fast leaning back. You run fast leaning forward. See, I love what Proverbs says because for me, I'm an intellectual person and I just believe with all of my heart. I'm sorry if this goes against your grain of thinking. I believe with all of my heart, God gave us a mind to use it. So I have a hard time checking my mind at the door of faith. I'm a logician. I try to see things around it. So I have a hard time with the idea of faith. And this is one of the facts that I deal with. Of the faith saying, turn your brain off and go. I don't think that. I think Proverbs right here is saying, don't lean on it. God gave you a mind. He gave you an intellect. He gave you a brain to think and to ask questions and to walk and to think around things and to ruminate over things like a cow chews on its cud. We think about things. And I don't think that God wants you to turn that off and just come and be an automaton to follow Jesus. But I believe what Proverbs is saying is do not lean on your own understanding. Because in the direction in which you lean will lead your life. And a life that leans on self-understanding becomes a self-determined life. And a self-determined life ends up in self-destruction. Why? Because the day in which your determination runs out, you've got no more hope. But if we would lean into the truth of Jesus Christ, see, if we would lean into the teachings of what Jesus taught, of what Paul and his apostles and his followers and the disciples of Jesus would teach us, if we would lean into the truth of scriptures of God, then all of a sudden the direction in which we lean will begin to guard our lives so that when fact begins to scream out at us, the direction in which we lean begins to lead. And we say to that fact, yeah, it doesn't look good right now. Yeah, it seems like the wrong time right now. It seems like it's not going to happen right now. But as I lean into Jesus, and as I lean into the truth, and as the test of trust turns out to be the truth in Jesus, now all of a sudden as my life begins to respond in a way that Jesus would speak, I looked at the fact and the faith challenge and I realized it's okay to have questions. It's okay to have challenges. You notice how Luke writes Peter's story? Peter says, Master, fact, I'm tired. And he says, I have toiled and I have slaved. I have worked hard. I am sweaty and I am stinky and I have nothing to show for it. Just want to go home and watch football. But nevertheless, at your word. I don't know that Peter said that in faith. We like holler. My sister over there, she's like, amen. I think Peter was like, whatever, man. The reason I think that is because of Peter's reaction. Because when he saw what Jesus had in store for him, he fell at his feet in Jesus' knees and he said, forgive me. Why? Because the test of trust. I didn't trust you. I was doing it just because you said it and I didn't want anybody else to know about it. But I had questions and I had doubts and I didn't know what to do. Forgive me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, Peter, don't be afraid because I got something in store for you that a load of fish in a full boat won't even compare to. Peter, you will not go down in the annals of great sea boat captains. Peter, you will change the entire world. And I wonder on the test of trust, what is on the other side of the obedience of what faith is asking us to do? Because I love Peter. He's an awesome guy. Why? Because he's a relatable guy. And I love the story in John, the 6th chapter. We're talking about leaning, and the way you lean will lead your life. And Peter now has been called by Jesus after trusting Jesus' words. Now Jesus says, follow me. And Peter says, I trust you. I'm going to follow you now. And now Peter has followed Jesus for some time. And in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus says some really weird words to people. And they were going between their faith and their fact. And what Jesus was saying was challenging their fact. And everybody left him in John, the 6th chapter. Everybody leaves Jesus. So Jesus turns around to all that's left, his followers, his 12 disciples. And he looks at them and he says, you guys going to leave me too? And Peter leans into Jesus and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else is there for me to go? Because I've put my trust in you. And you've proven it. Why? Because you proved to me that when fact says fishing in the middle of the day in the deep says I'm not going to catch anything, you proved that I will. You proved to me, Jesus, that water is water and water is not wine. But somehow, Jesus, you made water wine. Fact says that two fish and five loaves will never feed a crowd. But Jesus, you proved to me that it will. Fact says you can't walk on water. But Jesus, you proved to me that you can. Where am I going to go? Because Peter was leaning into his trust in Jesus. And it was leading the direction of his life. So what do? When your faith challenges your fact, lean into the trust that Jesus is who he said he is, did what he said he would do, believes in you what he said he believes. You are worth it. You're a conqueror. You're a champion. You're royalty. You're worthy. You're deserving. You're good. You're okay. You may not feel like you're okay, but Jesus says, fact, if you lean into me, you're okay, and you're gonna be okay. The thing that fascinates me about this story is it bookends in the Gospels the core group of disciples' encounters with Jesus. You see, the very first time in Luke's Gospel that we see them encountering Jesus is Jesus challenging them in trust. And the last encounter we see with the disciples in the book of John, once again, Jesus challenges them with trust. John, the 21st chapter, as Jesus has died and resurrected, but they don't quite know what's going on. Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to go back to my life and what I used to do. So the disciples, they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. You know, the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus, and he calls out to them, "Hey, children, you got any fish?" They said to them, "No, we've been fishing all night. We've toiled all night, and we've caught nothing." He says, "Cast your nets to the other side of the boat." See, what this was saying is that when you would throw a net, you would throw it with your dominant hand. To go to the other side of the boat would mean you'd have to throw the net with your weak hand. Awkward, weird, and weakness. So Jesus was saying once again, "Hey, season's over. Would you do it the wrong way? Go to the other side with your weak hand." He says they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. And right then the disciples realized, that's Jesus! Maybe because they'd been in this position before. It says that Peter throws on his jacket and he jumps into the water and he goes and meets Jesus. You see, what I find so amazing is that before Jesus ever challenged Peter to follow him, challenged him to trust him. Before Jesus ever challenged Peter to change the world, once again, he challenged him to trust him. Church, what is it that God has for you? It screams against the fact. It says you're not going to make it, can't do it, not qualified, not good enough, not smart enough, not old enough or too old, whatever it might be. What is it? Faith is challenging you against fact. Will you lean instead of on your own understanding, instead of the reality of your circumstance, instead of the actuality of your present? Will you begin to shift your weight and lean into the reality of Jesus? That his promises for you are yes and amen. Jesus says, when you ask in my name, you will receive. You will make an impact in this life for God's goodness and God's glory. You might look at that fact as a mountain. Say, God, that mountain of fact is so big, there's no way I can move it. And maybe Jesus is just saying, lean into me enough to have one shovel full at a time until one day you're going to look up and you're going to be on the other side of that mountain. I didn't even realize it. My challenge to you, church, is to lean in. To lean in to the truth of Jesus. I shared on social media, I'm going to be preaching in my home church tonight, and this is a message that Stacy and I have been walking through for the past 18 months, because about 18 months ago, about in the season of March and April, we just started to feel God start stirring our hearts, and it was kind of a weird feeling. Never felt that feeling before, never experienced it before, but we just felt like a season from summer to fall, or from fall to winter, from winter to spring, or from spring to summer, like something was changing. We started kind of open up our hearts and say, God, what is this season that you have for us? I went to a conference in Alabama just seeking to hear from God, and felt deeply impressed in my heart that the Holy Spirit put in my heart that you can do it, Luke. I came back and I was like, I don't even know what that means. You can do it. I sought my counsel and some advisors and talked to some of my mentors, and I think we established that God was calling us to step out. Step out in faith. See, fact is, I grew up in this house. The fact is that I never thought I was going to leave this place. The fact is that this is home, that I met my wife here, that my children were born here. The fact is that my blood and sweat and tears are in almost every one of these rooms. Literally, I bled putting up things like this screen. But God was saying, I'm moving you, and you can do it. So we started to travel. It wasn't much longer after that around this time last year, Pastor Dan got up on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning right after I was preaching and kind of dropped the bomb on the church and said, Luke and Stacy are leaving. They're going to start a church. Some people clapped. Some people gasped. Some people cried. I had people at the back door like, what? Including my mama. So we went on a journey. Been through all sorts of different places. Been to Arizona. been to Nevada, been to Northern California and San Francisco and San Jose and Santa Cruz, and we've been to San Diego and San Luis Rey and Escondido and Murrieta and Corona, and we've been to Claremont and Chino and Beverly Hills. We've been to places like Flagstaff, Reno. Drove all the way from Vancouver, Washington, on the border of Washington to Bellingham. Drove the entire state of Washington. We drove through Oregon. Went to Colorado two different times with a bunch of different people. Spent a lot of money. Spent a lot of time. And the question is always, Luke, where are you going? Luke, where are you going? And I struggled with fact. Because fact is, the closer I stay, the more influence I have. People that know us will come with us. People from the music team have been like, man, you go local, I'm gonna go with you. And it's like, you sing really good, come on. After Pastor Dan's approval, of course. You know. Fact and logic said stay. Stay local. Do something that's just right around here. But as Stacy and I were traveling, we went to Oregon. The first time we went, we left and we were mad. God, this is awful. I hate this place. We said, we're done with it. We kept and we traveled again. Went to more cities, and we were in Colorado, and we were at this beautiful place in Colorado, and we saw this vision. And we were like, man, how beautiful is this? But man, it's not like that city in Oregon. Remember that? So we went back again, and we went again, and we said, oh, this is cool, but it's nothing like us. It's small, it's not big, it's Oregon, it's not California, it has snow. What am I going to do with that? So we said, no, we're not going to do that. So we started saying, you know, we're going to go to L.A. So we said, we're going to go to West L.A. I had a rabbi friend that was like, hey, I'm going to open a building for you. Got some favor for you in L.A. And we started saying, let's go to L.A., but just, it wasn't working in our hearts. So we said, okay, we won't go to L.A., we'll go halfway. We'll go to like San Dimas, Azusa, we'll settle. Just wasn't working. We said, let's go back again. So we got in a car and drove 1,300 miles again. Drove back up to Oregon again. And we went up there and we just said, this is it. Fact is, it's hard. Fact is, I don't know a soul up there. Fact is, it's the hardest thing in church planning that they tell you you could do is to go to a place of a city in which you know nobody, to a culture in which you're not a part of, in a place in which you have no say in, and start from the ground up. But as we went up there and we saw people hurting, not hurting in the way they hurt in San Bernardino, hurting in a different way, hurting in a way that they're de-churched and unchurched and walking away. And as we talked to pastors and when they said, man, churches are failing left and right. They're being turned into clubs and breweries. We asked ourselves, is this okay? Is this okay with our soul that what was once a believing church is now a sign of the world's celebration of bread and circus? I believe God put a vision in our hearts to step out into the deep, into the wrong place, into the wrong time, and in the wrong way, to step out in faith, to plant churches in Oregon and in the Pacific Northwest. So Stacy and I, we prayed, a small group of people, we got around our dining room table and we cried, we dreamt. Some of us said yes, and some of us said no, and some of us said not right now, and some of us said when. And I believe God planted a seed in our hearts. We've been fighting faith and fact for 6 months on this decision. I'm telling you today, I don't want to go. Like Peter, Master, this is my home. Master, I've got a great job. I love my house. My kids have friends in their street. I'm comfortable. I've been able to pay off my debts and live a good life. It's the wrong time. It's the wrong place. It's a small city. It's the wrong way. But nevertheless, it's your word. We'll go. So Stacy and I, we're packing our bags. We're moving to a city in Central Oregon called Bend. A little tiny town next to it called Redmond. 250,000 people. That's it. That's San Bernardino alone. That's it. There's 4 million people in this valley. But I believe God has put something in our hearts that we can no longer reject, and we can no longer change, and we can no longer stop. And we have to come to a place where we say, Jesus, I'm going to lean into you because this is a test of trust. And I'm going to trust you. So church, we're going to miss you. Never thought I'd leave this place. Fact. Never thought I'd leave California. Come on. I mean, look at me. But faith challenges our fact. You may not be called to move 1,300 miles away from your home, but let me tell you something. I believe God is calling you in your life, in whatever season it might be, in whatever way it might be, to launch out into the deep. Because your faith will challenge your fact. You just got to lean into Jesus because it's a test of trust. Is Jesus who he says he is? Is what he says true? Then if it is, lean into him and not on your own ways. And let him take you on the ride of your life that you will never be able to dream what it will be. And you'll never know, church, what's on the other side of the boat. You'll never know what's on the other side of the deep. You'll never know what's on the other side of obedience until you allow your faith to challenge your fact and step into the truth of Jesus Christ. There it is. I just feel in this moment, I know that some of you, we've had conversations, and some of you have said, man, I love it when you preach, and we're just so happy. And some of you are like, I don't know this guy. Church is getting late. Can we be done? I just feel the tenderness of Jesus right now. And I just believe that maybe some of you are in this place right now. And the very first challenge is like Jesus to Peter. The challenge of trust. And Jesus is just simply saying, you've got a lot of questions. That's okay. You've got doubts. We'll deal with them. But you're searching. See, I believe Peter was listening. And it's because he was listening that he responded. And you've been hearing faith begin to challenge you. And maybe that challenge is just simply as much as, would you put your trust in Jesus?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.